I always knew I would be in a city for 2 or 4 years. That's the length of most of my relationships. But I knew going in, this has a cutoff period. And I would often tell the men when I was younger, we have 2 years, let's make the most of it.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. As always, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are happy campers, Regan, to be talking about what today?
Topic number one. It's the Battle of the Holidays. Pick two holidays, pick something or someone to represent it, give them a weapon, and let them fight. Who's gonna win?
Now, holiday like a British vacation? Or a traditional celebration of something.
You can pick international holiday. It can be any holiday across the world.
Just that any... Oh, wow, okay. Ooh. All right. That might just change everything.
Yeah. You just flipped the script on him.
Topic number two. Tell us about a time that you had to defend your sibling. Yeah. And topic number three. Who is the loudest person you know?
You know, it's funny. I think we both have the same answer.
Nope.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Possibly. And we are pleased as punch to have on the podcast today a legend amongst musicians in Texas, mm-hmm. let alone this very table. The late singer of one of my favorite bands, Boxcar Satan, mm-hmm. Hog Bitch, Evil Mothers, Sanford Allen. Sanford, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right.
How's it, guys? It's the second time you've been on the podcast.
Yeah, it's so a little bit different format this time. Last time we had a panel, so I didn't have to think of my feet very much because the other two guys kept stepping in and picking up the dead weight.
No, yeah, you're carrying this load all by yourself this time.
Giant load is on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually you have to pay for that.
Yeah. we are 2 minutes in and a cum joke.
All right. We could have left it vague.
And was it really that vague? Sanford, what's been up lately, dude?
Well, let's see. Earlier this evening, I was down at the Twig. A couple guys I know put out a book called Beer in San Antonio.
Yeah.
I just wanted to also talk about your writing, too, as well, but I'm glad you're bringing up books and
stuff. Cool, yeah. Yeah, they were...
Beer in San Antonio.
Beer in San Antonio. History of beer in San Antonio. Mm. Going back to the San Antonio Brewers Association and the German settlers that were brewing beer and on through Prohibition and the Lone Star and Pearl breweries and now all the explosion of craft brew.
We're drinking the Lone Star.
Drinking the Lone Star right now, which is no longer brewed in San Antonio, unfortunately. And on through all the craft brews that are coming out of places like Ranger Creek and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that was
Busted
cool.
Sandal, but, my favorite San Antonio beer. Yeah. I had a Evil Owl. Ever had an Evil
Owl? I have,
that's
pretty
good.
That's
a good one. I like that one, too.
Yeah, I was pissed off the other day. Where was it? I can't remember. I think it was even in the Current, and they were talking about the Sword playing Friday, and Blanco Brewing Company has a sword-themed beer that they're launching.
Sword the band?
The band, yeah. And the Current said, I believe it was the Current, actually, said, an Austin-based brewery, Blanco Brewing Company. No, bullshit. Bullshit on that.
Well, the Current has to say it's from Austin so they can give it validation.
Yeah, so that people will like it.
Yeah, you hear that, Current? There's cool stuff here, God damn it.
And it's from Austin.
Even in cool stuff, even in Blanco, Texas.
Yeah.
Where they're from,
Austin-based. That's cool.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been called Austin-based before.
Have we?
Yeah. Yeah, in the film stuff. I remember that. I had to be, where are you from?
Yeah, the funniest one ever, I remember we played a show in San Francisco with Boxcar, and there was some guy on his blog, and there was this band from El Paso the other night that really kicked ass.
Aww.
It's the first time I've ever been mistaken for being from El Paso.
Well, if you're in a satanic band, and you're like, where are all those women?
right across from Adam
Morris. Workers, where are they going? Yeah, being given to Satan. So, one story that I've heard kind of bits and pieces of is you played at the Church of Satan in California, right?
Yeah, see, it was actually in San Francisco, yeah. They were having a benefit show for displaced Native Americans after Hurricane Rita hit the coastline And the American government said, well, you guys are your own sovereign nation, so we don't really have to pay for you to rebuild anything.
Wow.
Yeah, so the various groups had fundraisers to help them, and one of them was the Church of Satan in San Francisco. Nice. And it was cool because Carla LaVey, right, Anton LaVey's daughter, was running about with these red devil horns and this black cat suit. And I think she had a little pitchfork, too.
Older Christian stereotype of what would be happening inside the Church of Satan was actually happening.
It was, although, you know, the funny thing was, it was really just kind of this collection of middle-aged eccentrics. There was some guy that played the theremin who was kind of...
What's a theremin?
Yeah.
Oh, the woo! Okay.
Yeah.
Was it Matthew Sweet?
No. No, he was some kind of doughy guy with a beard and a turtleneck, and there was a...
not Larry?
Yeah, I was like, I just made sure that where my collar ended.
That's the first adjective when describing Larry.
Yeah, doughy and bearded dude.
I'm doughy, no beard, but, you know.
So he was playing...
Just a bunch of eccentric, you know, middle-aged guys. Not very many women there.
At the Church of Satan?
Yeah.
Wow.
I heard that's all there was.
Yeah.
Just at an altar, just
nude, laying on the altar. Yeah.
Damn it!
Women loved Satan.
I felt I was kind of ripped off by the experience, but you know, it was a benefit show. So,
if you're a female inside the Church of Satan, I guess you're not very giving.
Perhaps not.
That's what it is. If you're from the Church of Satan, please message us.
No, they're running the booths outside, all the activities and everything.
They're doing the bake sales.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Church of Satan
turkey bake sales and everything.
Although the highlight of it for me was that the guy we ended up staying with that night had Anton LaVey's Hammond organ.
Did he? Wow.
In his house.
Wow.
And dig this, man. It is one of those kind with the two keyboards on it, one above the other, right? And there was a green light underneath the bottom keyboard and a red light underneath the top one. So the keys were sort of translucent and kind of glowed this eerie green or this sort of hellish red.
Hell yeah.
Did you play it?
Oh, yeah. And he had sheet music in the bench folded up like your grandma's old piano bench. And he had sheet music that Anton LaVey had...
all hymnals? All hymns?
Oh, yeah. There was the satanic hymn and all this kind of stuff. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Backwards Our Fathers and shit.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, you can't get fucking cooler than performing with your band Boxcar Satan at the Church of Satan at the, what was he called? The Black Pope? The Anton LaVey's, founder of the Church of Satan?
I think so. He was sort of the Ronald McDonald of Satan or something.
Yeah, the face, the lion tamer.
Yeah,
I like it. I like it. Anytime I smell patchouli, I think of Satan because I bought my black Bible from like a head shop when I was in high school, and I had to hide it because my mom's super Catholic, and I'm Catholic, right? But I had my black Bible in the shoebox. And it reeked of patchouli. So now anytime I smell patchouli, I think
Satan. Satan.
Hippies, Satan.
As long as you're thinking of them.
Right. As long as
sensory
I'm thinking
recall
of the devil. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. We hung out at the Housecore Horror Fest.
Yeah.
Jammed out to some really cool metal band. What did you think about that show?
I enjoyed it immensely. It was cool to see Goblin again.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing the score to the Dawn of the Dead. Jamming out to Zombie, right? That was Incantation. Have you seen Incantation before?
No, it's my first time.
Yeah. Old fucking death metal guys. You can't get any better. Autopsy, the guitarist looked like he was like serving funnel cakes earlier. And just went, oh, I'm on.
Autopsy was great. I had not experienced them before, and they had the singing drummer too, which, and he was super,
like the Eagles.
Super spastic.
Eagles, they are literally the Eagles of death metal. Yeah,
Oh, that was having a seizure while he was playing. I always like seeing that. Singing and having a seizure and playing drums. And
multi-talented.
Yeah. Yob was great. I don't know if you caught them earlier.
We had Whataburger with the guys.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. Nice.
It was a weird night hanging out with Bill Moseley, lead singer of Yob, Mike something, I believe. And, and then at the end, oh, hey, Goblin.
Hey, Goblin.
Hey, Bill Moseley and Phil Anselmo.
Phil Anselmo heckling the movie.
It's a waste of fucking bullets.
Waste of fucking ammo.
Can you shut up, Phil Anselmo?
I'm trying to enjoy this European band that you put together so graciously for us.
Sorry, brother.
Yeah.
I was at the first house core at the end of the night.
That was in Austin.
In Austin, where everything happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Center of the universe. Mm-hmm. Center of the hipster universe.
Yes. Anyway.
More hipsters per square fucking foot than Williamsburg, Brooklyn, apparently.
Wow. I believe it.
Yeah. So anyway, the house core show is ending, and Goblin has just played the soundtrack to Suspiria.
Yeah.
And everybody's just kind of on this ebullient high from seeing that. And then this random guy runs up behind me and gives me this big bear hug and and lets go of me. And he runs up to somebody else and gives him a big bear hug. And I realize it's Phil Anselmo running through the crowd.
He's just loving it, man.
Giving random bear hugs to people. I had never imagined to be the huggy sort, you know.
Just a happy guy.
Shook my hands literally for 40 seconds. to be completely honest, I had been trying to like touch his hand since I was like 14. And then fast forward to me being 34, and I'm like, holy shit, I got to shake his hand. And then immediately, within seconds, evolving, all right, dude, let my hand go. It was a surreal experience to where for a few seconds.
No, man, I'm gonna shake your hand a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's all right, big brother. That's why we do it, big brother. We do it for each other, big brother. That's why we do it, man. I did it for us because we're family, big brother. That's why we do it.
All right, Phil. And he was downing, pun intended, bottles of white wine. You don't think, you know, that the lead singer of multiple bands would be into Pinot Grigio.
I wouldn't have imagined.
Yeah, letting it get you drunk, I guess.
And happy.
And free, I guess. It was provided by the whatever. It's probably given to
him. Probably it was just free.
The guys in Goblin are probably getting off stage and, you know, looking in the cooler. Sorely disappointed.
Where's our Moscato? Yeah. Like, they're Italian dudes. They wanted their dessert wine after their show. It was entertaining. I thought it was funny because they were scoring the movie to go to a concert, get hyped up because we were in the front, and then have the band stop playing for like lengthy periods of time. I thought that was like a really interesting experience just to see the drummer eating like raisinets.
I was like, oh yeah, this is a segment of the movie that doesn't have scoring.
Yeah. For a while. It was a weird experience.
So Boxcar Satan, we used it for a couple of our projects.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for, and we absolutely, and in that time, you know, I was listening to pretty much all of them trying to see which ones could fit and just absolutely really awesome. Where did you specifically get a lot of your musical influences from?
It's funny because I listen to everything, really, you know, even stuff I don't like sometimes. Yeah. I'll listen to it just to go, what are they doing right?
What's the big deal?
Or why is it that I don't like it when everybody else seems to? And sometimes I don't find the answer, but sometimes I do.
Right.
Nice.
You know, but yeah, I think Boxcar was a little bit of that sort of post-punk, no wave kind of thing. It was bands like The Birthday Party and The Fall and The Pop Group and Teenage Jesus and The Jerks and all that kind of stuff. So it was a little bit of that, but I also like, you know, a lot of old blues and old timey country and that kind of stuff. And there's a certain rawness to that that to me is very similar to that sort of angular, pissed off kind of, you know, herky jerky stuff that you hear, right? And the no wave music, right? And then also I would notice that there was this certain really sort of, angry, sort of angular, frenzied stuff going on in avant-garde jazz
right.
that would also seem complimentary, mm-hmm. right? And then I'd hear weird ethnic music, and I'd go, okay, well, I could see that fitting in, too. And, yeah. and I just think, and it just seemed with every CD, we kind of just kept widening the circle and right. going, this, we could pull this in there. And
that what's
why
funny
not,
is,
you know, why not do some Eastern European?
You saying all those things, I can hear, I can think of different songs that have little elements of that in it, which is this why I asked. It's so cool because, and for those of you listening, go on, just Google Bhaskar Sethi Night as well.
Spotify.
And, you guys are on Spotify. Places,
why am I so old fashioned?
Yeah. I didn't want to say Spotify because then people could just listen to your shit for free, but you know, buy it.
You know, maybe they'll buy it. I listen mm-hmm. to stuff on Spotify, and if I like it, I'll go ahead and buy it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen to it, enjoy it, buy it.
Yeah. And then Hog Bitch to me was kind of an extension of that because there was stuff I like metal and proto metal and space rock and more psychedelic stuff that never quite fit in with what we were doing with Bhaskar. So that was kind of the next step because I liked all that stuff too. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to explore it. And again, with Hog Bitch, it wasn't like, okay, we're going to take this narrow definition of what heavy metal is or what proto metal is or what heavy rock is or heavy blues is or whatever and just try, you know, and I feel like there are bands like that a lot who sort of gravitate to this one tiny little strata of what hard rock is and they'll just do it over and over and over again. And so we're again just trying to widen the circle and do a whole bunch of different stuff that all sort of complemented.
That's awesome. That is fantastic.
So what are you working on now? I mean, not just music, like what are your current projects?
Well, some of you, you guys may know I'm a writer.
Yes, well, I also want you to talk about.
So I had a book come out a little bit more than a year ago called Deadly Passage, which is a horror novel set on a slave ship. So sort of historical horror.
Yeah.
If I was pitching it to Hollywood, I'd say it's Alien meets Amistad.
What?
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Mind blown.
Yeah. So, let's see. I write short stories all the time. I've had some pretty good ones out there. I shouldn't say pretty good short stories. I'll let people decide whether they like short stories, but they've been in some good anthologies. One of them, After Death, won the Bram Stoker Award.
No shit? Yeah, really? Yeah. Congratulations.
Not my story in it, but the anthology itself.
But you're attached to it, dude. That's fucking incredible.
You're part of the team, man.
Yeah.
Won the team.
I wrote that story with a really good author out of Austin by the name of Josh Roundtree. It was awesome. That story is about Joe Strummer, The Clash, and the afterlife, what he decides to do in the afterlife.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So he's continuing to be a cool guy in
I'm
the afterlife.
Sure, Aaron.
Yeah.
I'm very curious.
Helping people out, and you know.
Yeah, dude. That's fucking awesome. Well, okay, question on that. A serious question. You did obviously use his name, right?
And all
that stuff. Did you have to get rights to do that, or how does that work? I'm just curious.
We didn't even really think about that. Okay. I mean, had we used some of his song lyrics, we probably would have had to.
But it's parody, right? So I guess there's that.
I mean, it wasn't parody necessarily. Yeah. I mean, we were serious about it. Right. I think it's a serious story, but
I don't know. That's interesting.
People incorporate historical figures.
If you write a book about a dude talking about a president or something. Yeah.
It's on the disclaimer. You would say it's a piece of fiction, and no one's represented or that's all in that disclaimer. You just say it's fiction.
Sweet, Chris, I'm gonna make some fan fiction of Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero fucking in the afterlife,
wrestling in hell.
Yeah,
but like they're not in hell; they're like fighting for souls in hell. Like they're good guys in hell wrestling.
No, Chris Benoit's not a good guy.
Well, what if one of them is in hell and the other one is heaven, and they're wrestling to bring souls?
Exactly,
right?
That's what I meant. Boom! Eddie Guerrero's frog splashing from heaven, and Chris Benoit's just killing all these kids' souls, and like
all right, man, that'd be and then like right when at the very last minute when
Chris Moore is about to win.
Yeah, then fucking Macho Man. It's like
Ultra Warrior.
Yeah. The spirit of Macho Man is like
elbow drops from heaven, like bum 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 bum. Yeah. Oh, dude. Thanks, Sanford.
Go for it.
That's a great idea, man. Just, inspired by Sanford.
just an elbow drop from heaven that just creates a giant crater in the earth.
Just
do the forward. Can you write the forward?
Sure.
Oh, it's sweet.
Yeah. Fuck. So you're thinking about this is going to be a novel, not just a short story.
Yeah. Okay. What? There's so much to do.
It's going to be a series.
Yeah.
Out of such like layered fucking.
Yeah.
There's a lot of backstory.
They're adapted to movies, and then the fourth book's going to be split into two movies.
And then 20 years afterwards, the fucking remake, dude.
Oh, they're like, well, this movie follows the book more than the original movies.
Exactly. And we're going to hate it. And then we're
going to... No, when the first movie comes out, you hate it, but you're contractually... you're not able to say you
don't
like
it.
Until 20 years later, you're like, you know what? I never liked that movie. It was a piece of shit.
Here's the miniseries.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Here's the HBO... The HBO series of it.
Or the Dune miniseries.
Yes. His son directed that, didn't he?
I don't remember who directed that one. I just remember you could actually follow the story in it, but it looked like an ABC after school special in terms of the quality of the special effects.
Did Helen Hunt jump out of a second story window? It's like, this is what Angel Dust does. I go, I want Angel Dust.
But these days, you can get, now, like, you look at the sci-fi movies that are, like, really low budget. You can still get some stuff done on a cheap budget these days.
Have you seen Sharknado?
Yeah, but when you do that with, like, something like Dune, it's just kind of...
Oh, no, Dune, yeah, you're
going to... It's kind of sucks. Like, oh, sweet, I remember, like I'm going to watch this because this ought to be cool. And then I was like, oh, man.
They're on a set.
I guess I'll watch four or five... I guess I'll watch the whole series.
It was lucidly plotted, which is more than you could say for the David Lynch movie. Yeah. it was like, that was so... I remember seeing that in the theater when it came out, and I had read the book and brought my mom and my two younger brothers to see it, and they were passing out a fucking sheet of paper in the lobby explaining the plot to you.
That's never a good thing.
So, I just remember, like, I had read the book, and I could kind of follow what was going on, and my family just...
Like, before we start, this is what happens in the movie.
Yeah. it was like, I don't know, have you ever been to the opera? And they'll give you a little summary of the opera because it's going to be in another language, you know? And Dune, Lynch's Dune anyway, was kind of in another fucking language. Yeah.
They give you the translation of Dune.
Well, all of Lynch's movies are like that.
Yeah, but that's funny because that one in particular is probably more coherent
than any other movie.
It makes
more sense.
It does, because it kind of...
I enjoy what the fuck movies. Like, what's going on? Like, okay, cool. It's art piece, whatever. I saw Eraserhead for the first time with Brant like 2 years ago. And I was like, okay, I get this. Okay. And I remember going, oh, yeah, man. Furnace Lady. I get it. Yeah, that's cool. Oh, yeah. That's like a skinned goat baby. All right. That's cool.
I guess.
And then after a while, I'm like, Brant, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. That's what's great about it. It's my 14th time seeing this movie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but he'll explain the...
El Topo?
The Cremaster series, there's a total breakdown of that movie. So they're like explaining what those movies are all about. And I saw the whole thing with them, and I was like, it's weird. Like, it's a weird 5 or 6 hour journey over the course of a few nights, and then... Like, yeah, it's good. It's a good movie to watch with the footnotes. Without them, it's like wow. But then after you get the footnotes or whatever, then you're kind of like, oh, okay. I try.
I'm such a fucking normal fucking.
Yeah, you're a dad.
Oh, yeah, you're a dad.
You're a movie-waiting dad. You're like,
oh, I am a square.
What's going on? I don't understand.
I used to watch Richard Kern movies and get all like, yeah, man, fucking art house shit. Dude's shaking and he just jerked off on something, right? I'm like, I love it. Yeah, now I for some reason, I've turned into this, what the fuck was that? And it's like, a Seth Rogen movie that's just too fucking deep for me.
Back in, when it must have been like 1988 or something, my roommate and I were really had read in Film Threat. They'd had those reviews of the Richard Kern movies, and he was still selling them on VHS.
Yeah, I have them on VHS.
Oh, that kicks ass. We'd order them, you know, like one at a time, and they were totally fucking expensive, and they're like 20 minutes long.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's real short.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the collection of them on a recorded VH, I'm a blank. Like, I didn't have the actual ones that he sold. I had like a bootleg that my buddy that worked at KSYM burned for me. So it was like an hour and a half. And yeah, just a dude just walking down the street, just shaking. And I remember like,
I get it.
Yeah, I get it. In college, I was like, yes. Yeah, I get it. Now I've been looking forward to give to Brent.
Yeah, you remember You Killed Me First?
I don't remember the names at all.
Oh, there was one where the it was hilarious. It was Lung Leg that was the name of the actress, and she was
Lung Leg.
And David was it Warnerovich, is that his name, the guy that had gotten a big NEA grant, and all the senators had pounced on him because he had butt fucking in his photographs. And Karen Finley played her mom, and she ends up, you know, they just torment her until she shoots them at Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes.
I was totally smitten.
It was one at the end.
I was smitten of my tape. Lung Leg, and I photocopied a picture of her face and repeated it all around the as the border in my my bedroom. And then somebody met her later on and said she was kind of bloated and alcoholic.
Yeah, I was
going to
say
such.
Old and fat. Wow. Who was Lucy Lunchbox?
Lydia Lunch.
That's right.
Lucy Lunchbox sounds pretty cool.
That's a Garbage Pail Kid.
No, Lucy Lunchbox is going in. She's going on Elbow Drops from Heaven, the book of fucking Chris Benoit versus Eddie Guerrero. It's going to be Lucy Lunchbox. Lydia Lunch.
That's a great. That is, oh man, that's
a garbage.
Garbage.
That's my favorite.
But that's a great name.
Let me see.
That's good to someone to go, Lucy Lunchbox. You go, oh, we're talking about art films. You go, oh yeah.
I remember watching this thing, and one of the short films was a guy on his phone, and this girl was like distressed and all this stuff, and it looked like he was like really intently listening, and then it was a sharp cut to him just coming on a table or something. And I remember that being the first time, that was the part that disturbed me the most. I think someone got shot by like a single gauge shotgun or something, and then all of a sudden you just see bleh, 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 bleh. Just a close up of this little fucking Audrey 2 looking cock just
it wasn't real?
No, it wasn't real. It was real, but it was so close up. It was like, and I went, I guess I just saw this dude jerk off.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I get it. That's my favorite thing to do at any museum, is just walk up in front of any piece of art and go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Just walk to the next
But you move it.
No,
no, you, no, you move, just, like, the, move the art, like you change the angle, and you're
I just like when people around you just go, I don't get it.
That comes up for Lucy Lunchbox or Lunchboxes with Lucy, Lucille Ball or the Peanuts character.
No. Lucy, like an actual Lucy Lunchbox?
It's not
a Lunchbox with Lucy on it.
Lunchbox with Lucy.
So, all right, ladies out there, if you're interested in becoming a female wrestler or a
Garbage Pail Kid,
a punk singer,
Lucy Lunchbox.
Lucy Lunchbox is up. So do it.
Lucy Lunchbox at the tight ropes.
The autobiography of Lucy Lunchbox before her car accident. Well, Sanford, it's so fucking awesome to have you on the podcast, man.
Yes,
absolutely. Before we get to the topics, where could people find you, upcoming projects, websites, all that good stuff?
Yeah, sanfordallen.com is my website/blog, and my buddy Scott Cupp, who's also an author, visits every Tuesday and Wednesday. He's an older guy who has an encyclopedic knowledge of film and books, and he does a forgotten film and a forgotten book review.
Yeah.
And I do stuff on my blog as well. Every Friday or every other Friday thereabouts is I do a cocktail hour where I will discuss a book or a movie and then sort of craft a cocktail
Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Fucking cool.
That's cool.
To enjoy with it. Yeah, so that's been fun. And I'm just getting, you know, my nose just keeps getting redder and redder. And they're burst capillaries under my eyes and stuff. And it's destroying my life.
Yeah. But in a good way.
But, you know, yeah, I'm having fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, real quick before we move on, give us an example of a cocktail based on a film that you came up with.
Okay. A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. Uh-huh. Have you guys seen that movie?
No.
I recommend it highly.
Okay. That sounds awesome.
Iranian vampire film.
Ooh.
Oh.
Done and done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a female director, and it kind of looks at sexual politics in Iran.
Oh, I heard about... Yeah. Okay. I heard about that.
And it's black and white. Yeah. You can tell she's absorbed a lot of Jim Jarmusch movies.
Right.
For sort of the stark... you know, elliptical sort of black and white look that the movie has. And the female vampire essentially is stalking these men. And so there's this irony, you know, the girl walks home alone at night is the name of a horror movie. And you're thinking, oh, the girl's in trouble. Mm-hmm. Oh, quite the opposite.
Cool. That's awesome.
In this case. So I crafted a cocktail that basically used flavors you'd find in Persian food, like lime, rose water, and mixed them in with gin, which kind of has a nice florality to it that I think complements those things.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I would probably really awesome. Like that
yeah.
drink.
Yeah, he's a gin guy.
Oh, yeah, me too. I love gin. It's like vodka, but better.
Right. Vodka's horrible. Gin is so much better than vodka. Yeah. It's not even fair.
I mean, really, man, celery is really good.
Whatever.
All gin is, right, is vodka with herbal juniper, and it's basically aromatic stuff added to the vodka.
Celery soda is what I think it's what gin and tonic tastes like.
I drink the bombay.
Yeah, so that's fucking awesome. I will drink, what do you call the drink? The girl walks on one?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, yeah. I'm going to order that at this next time I'm at a hipster bar.
All right.
And let's see how fucking...
At a nice piano bar.
He's going to be so mad that he doesn't know what it is.
Oh, and cured.
I'll take a girl.
There you go. And you can just go to my website. You can find it. You can print out the recipe and present it to him and go, well, you know, you guys should know about this. I'm hoping you to us.
To a hipster.
I'm really surprised you don't know about this.
Yeah. I guess you were up there curling up that man bun. I was out there making real cocktails.
Yeah. Okay. Meanwhile, some dude walks up. Oh, I have a Lucy lunchbox. Yeah, you
got it. Hey. They're just crumbling moon pies in a Lone Star. Because I sure ready to go there. Did you want that with a beef jerky stick?
Yeah, that's exactly what goes.
Is there any other way?
Nice. That would be great to call up one of those bars and like keep asking for more and more obscure.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have that Finnish pine tar liqueur? Oh, I'm sorry, but I just came back from Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Everybody's serving that.
Yeah, it's a mayonnaise base.
I used to know some people that worked at a music store here in town that would call up Hermes, and they would make up fake shit for them to go see if they could. I've heard about this thing called the Coleman Camplifier. It's basically it runs on propane, and you can take it and go camping and use it as a cooking oven, or you can play your guitar through it. So the guy's like, oh, that sounds pretty badass. Let me see where you get that.
He's just hoping that exists.
A Coleman Camplifier.
Dude, when you need to take a show on the road, man, grab yourself a propane amp. That is brilliant. Because it kind of sounds like it should exist.
Yeah, there's... And Coleman should be the one to make it.
It's waterproof and made out of that...
The higher end versions of the Yeti amplifier.
Yeah, I was going to say the camplifier.
Yeti camplifier.
Come on, dude, get with it. Well, fuck, Sanford. Let's make up some more shit with some of these topics, man. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. So, hey, guys, it's time for another exciting edition of Yeah, we're looking at that, a segment where I talk about movies and games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners is going to be, yeah, we're looking at that. But sometimes you don't get an enthusiastic answer. And sometimes you listen to the stuff I'm talking about and you go, yeah, I hate Dan, which I think is going to happen because today we're talking about Independence Day Resurgence. We were talking about all these cool art films and things I want to look into, but I was, something crossed my path, a little movie called Independence Day Resurgence. So, as it turns out, somebody really wanted a sequel to Independence Day, which was fun. I remember, like, having a great time when I saw that, like, right out of high school, and I had a good time on...
It left you wanting more, did it not?
No, it did not want me more. It was like talking to some guy you'll never see again in years. And you're like, oh, that guy was all right. Like, that's what Independence Day is. Like, it's all right, you know, cool, all right.
That was fun. It was like seeing a movie that you really liked but never want to see again.
Yeah, Independence Day.
Yeah, exactly. But they said, God damn it, we are going to bring them back. They're back.
20 years later,
resurgence. And so the plot of the movie has, as it turns out, is that we fought for our independence. It's Independence Day worldwide. And so all the alien shit that burned down, that crushed the White House and whatever. So
Those giant city-sized ships that fell on cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like what humans normally do when alien technology lands on Earth, they reverse engineer it and start making cool shit.
Yeah, Terminators.
Yeah, exactly. So this whole time, we got alien technology, we've been putting it on ships, and everything's already cool. Little known to us is that when the aliens were getting their ass handed to them, they sent out an emergency signal to where they originally came from. So apparently, wherever these aliens are from, it takes 20 years for them.
Yeah, 2 million light years away. I get it. It makes sense. The math checks out.
They're like, oh, shit. Send in.
It does.
Send in the cavalry 20 fucking Earth years later. These big.
But to them, it's only been like a year.
Oh, man. It's been like 20 minutes. Like, yeah, exactly. So big, giant fucking ships arrive to Earth again.
They call them God years. So
fuck, right. Yeah. And this time, Will Smith is gone. I don't know where he's at. But maybe he's dead because Vivica Fox is back. Mm. But I don't know where her husband is. Is she still a stripper? I think she's moved on to greener pastures.
All right.
You know.
50 Cent.
Yeah, exactly. Hot Topic. Journeys.
Okay.
Places where she'd work. Anyways, so Jeff Goldblum is also back to... use the alien technology against the aliens.
I thought he'd been eaten by dinosaurs.
Oh, he died. He actually died of a painkiller overdose, is what really happened.
In the book.
Wait, and then the sequel on
Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park in the book, Jeff Goldblum's character dies from the injury that he had, and then he over-medicated.
He wants me to put Lucy on a lunchbox.
So, Jeff Goldblum, the old guy from Taxi... Vivica Fox, Charlotte Gainsbourg, Dear John, okay. Right?
Charlotte Gainsbourg,
wow. Like kind of stuck her. She's kind of, you know.
Is Data? Oh no, Data got killed.
Data was killed immediately. Yeah. You know, yeah.
And Harry Connick Jr.
The ghost
is dead
of
too.
Harry Connick Jr. might pop up. I'm not
maybe
sure.
Maybe Harry Connick the third.
Yeah,
I really hope Randy Quaid's in it.
No, Randy Quaid is not in it. Bill Pullman comes back because
he was the president,
but in the Independence Day reality, they expanded the president terms to like
20
infinite.
Years.
They put it back
still the president?
No, I don't think he's still the president.
I was going to say it's like fucking the Watchmen, Nixon just president forever.
So that's the gist of it. The aliens come back because
makes sense.
Because fuck it, right? Because that's an alien.
Robert
Loggia, unfortunately, is not. This is not his last movie, unfortunately.
Because Robin Williams movies are still coming out.
Yeah, not Robert Loggia. No, who's gonna tell us how to take them sons of bitches down?
Yeah, I would like to see Robert Loggia in like a mech suit, like fighting aliens,
like on the next.
Like Robert Williams is like the kind of the comedic Tupac, really.
Yeah.
Like, just keep coming
just
up with
holograms
more shit.
Coming yeah. out. Yeah. But I think Tupac was really the comedic Tupac.
Because it was in a way.
Yeah. Have you seen Poetic Justice? It's hilarious.
No.
So, anyways, they really, really wanted to bring back Independence Day, and they did with Independence Day Resurgence. So, I'm not super thrilled about it.
Is that going to go into theaters?
That's going to be a theater. That's a theatrical movie. They're expecting that to, like, I think that's like this upcoming July. 4th of July.
I was going to say, is it being released?
I think it's being released on 4th of July, just like the original. Well, the original was on July the 3rd, I think.
I get it. Resurgence. All
right. Right. Right, exactly. So it's time to declare our Independence Day, Bill Pullman with Independence Day Resurgence. Yeah, all right then. But that inspires the first topic for the day. And the first topic is a mouthful because I was trying to kind of figure a way to make something fun out of this predicament of Independence Day Resurgence. And the topic is... It's Battle of the Holidays. It's the holidays fighting, duking it out. So the topic is to take two holidays and have something or somebody or anything represent each of those holidays. Give those representatives a weapon and have them fight it out. And then so in your imaginary Battle of the Holidays, who would fucking win? So I start off with mine. I would have Thanksgiving in the blue corner because that's my favorite holiday, not for what it represents or anything, but just for the fact that there's always tamales on the ready. And so representing Team Thanksgiving, Team Tamale, is none other than Hector, the anthropomorphic tamale from San Antonio's own Delicious Tamales.
His name is representing
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he's my combatant for Thanksgiving.
All right. Mexican Thanksgiving.
Mexican Thanksgiving. Right?
There's no such a thing. Continue.
No, there is a mascot. Look up Delicious Tamales and they have a mascot.
There's no such thing as Mexican Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. No, there is no such thing. So it's Hector the Tamale.
Right.
And he's going to have a chain sword, but all the links are just these fucking metal tamales.
Right.
Right. So it's like instead of fucking masa, it's metal, and then the inside's fucking beefy poison. It really is just a chainsaw of poison.
Couldn't he have, just throwing this out
by
here,
all means, yes.
Couldn't he have a corn husk bag at the end of it, like in Master of the Flying Guillotine?
Oh!
Where he throws it out, and the corn husk tightens around somebody's head, and boop!
I like it. Love Master, that guarantees his win because I want him to win. He's Team Thanksgiving.
Well, that's not
he's
fair.
Team Thanksgiving. So I want.
Oh, I guess you asked who's going to win.
And I to battle against Team Tamale, Team Thanksgiving is Team Columbus Day, and Columbus Day is just a shitty holiday, and you don't even get the day off anymore. What it represents is kind of bullshit. It's like common knowledge, of course. Like, no one wants to really celebrate that anymore. So to deliver the final blow to Columbus Day, the representative of Columbus Day would be the director, Chris Columbus, and he's... And he's going to have a bag, like, you know, instead of like a bag full of bars of soap, it's just like... old single non-box copies of Home Alone, and he just swings it around, and he gets Jesus the shit Christ. Beat out of him by Hector the Tamale. So Thanksgiving wins in 20 seconds. Just a total fucking UFC, like people hype up this fight, and then like, you know what, Team Tamale is gonna like win in like the first 10 seconds, and that's exactly what happens. So Team Tamale destroys Chris Columbus. And that's the end of that story. So Columbus Day is no longer existent, and tamales get a international eyeball on them. They become more like renowned and more kind of respected outside.
But they're often eyeballs and tamales now.
That's true.
Yeah. Scrotums and all sorts.
Literal eyeballs in them. Yeah.
Some real. You're eating the real deal.
Yeah. No. And like that. Like the
dig a pit in the ground and shove a pig head in there and not tell Larry when he's 5 years old that there's a pig head in the ground. So he'll have nightmares all his life.
It's called an oven, dude.
Nah, dude. It's called a pit.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's my battle. Over pretty quick.
Well,
but bloody satisfying.
So you actually inspired me to somewhat change my answer because of you're talking about Independence Day.
Right.
So we're going to celebrate 16 de septiembre, which is Mexican Independence Day.
Nice.
Mexican independence from Spain. And we're going to have Pancho Villa, who had nothing to do with that, but just a representative of Mexico, Pancho Villa. And his weapon will be, you know, a fucking machine gun.
Oh, okay.
Machine gun. Because he had those fucking a guillotine. Not a guillotine, Gatling gun.
Gatling gun.
He's like, right, Pancho Villa, right? And he's going to fight the representative of Cinco de Mayo, which is not Mexican Independence Day, which everyone confuses it for.
Right.
It's a battle against France. But everyone celebrates Cinco de Mayo very stereotypically, and the representative of Cinco de Mayo will be the most interesting man in the world. But not...
Nice!
But not the fictional character, the actor, the guy who's just, you know, lucky to be there. And, yeah. His weapon is going to be a maraca and a Dos Equis. So he's thinking that this is going to be like, hey, man, we're just having a good time.
Yeah, this is a commercial shoot.
You know, I was the ambassador of Fiesta. Mm-hmm. You know, for our non-San Antonio listeners, is a basically, I don't know. Mardi
it's
Gras.
San Antonio's Mardi Gras.
Mexican Mardi Gras.
Mexican Mardi Gras.
Eh, Tex-Mexican Mardi Gras.
Yeah. You know, so he's going to be like, hey, we're going to have a good time. We're going to eat, you know, chips and salsa and Enchiritos and drink, you know, Pepsi and shit, right? And so he's going to come out in his tuxedo, and in Pancho Villa is going to fucking Gatling gun him, like, you know, shoot him probably 200 times.
Yeah, but that guy didn't deserve anything. He's just an actor trying to get a paycheck.
Yeah, man. But
he's representing Cinco de Mayo.
The douchiness of the stereotyping.
Can he be wearing a fucking Dia de los Muertos outfit? Because
wearing his tux.
Oh, he's straight up wearing his outfit.
But he has two white girls with him that dyed their hair
black. Wearing sombreros.
That are wearing sombreros, carrying fake pistolas. Like, that shoot confetti.
And have fake Mexican mustaches.
And they go,
they're just doing shots of tequila.
Yeah, and like, Cinco de Mayo, and then fucking Pancho Villa is dirty as shit.
These are the best tacos, because they're from Austin.
Yes. He goes, bitch and gringos. And he's just shooting all the food trucks that have, you know, the fucking cray paper things on the outside of it. And everything's just blowing up and
Sugar Skull tattoos.
Yeah, yeah. I want to get one.
I don't like this at all.
Yeah, so, but Pancho Villa wins on Jesse Sace.
I like how your topic had fought like a noble cause. Fighting against a shitty holiday.
The stereotype of...
Right.
Yeah.
Mine... Okay, so we picked the two holidays are... I think I'm going to go with Ramadan versus Thanksgiving. I'm going to do Thanksgiving as well because awesome. Ramadan is all about fasting and not eating. And to me, Thanksgiving is all about overeating. And they will be represented by the...
ISIS?
No. By a famous American Muslim and American, Cat Stevens. Oh, he's British.
Right.
But still, about Muhammad Ali?
Well, he's too good of a fighter. I didn't know.
Okay.
Because
But Cat Stevens, that's not his name anymore.
Yusuf Islam.
Yeah.
And Cat Stevens wasn't even his name in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what his real name is?
What?
Stephen Katz.
No!
That's clever. He just turned it around, didn't
you? Fuck it. Alan Sanford. Is your name Alan Sanford?
No.
So, he found me out. I'm a little too clever for that.
Cat Stevens.
Man, fuck yeah, Cat Stevens.
Will be representing fasting by having two human rib bones that have been honed razor sharp.
Yeah.
Right? Now he'll be pitted against.
Good answer.
He'll be pitted against representing Thanksgiving, Paula Deen.
Oh. Now please tell me he kills her.
Well, we'll see.
All right.
Paula Deen.
We'll see.
Paula Deen is armed with imagine a metal trident, but it's a big wishbone from a turkey.
Got it.
Right.
So
right.
It's a turkey wishbone.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of like spear with two things off, right? And so then they pit against each other, representing feasting and. Eating way too
feasting
much.
Versus feasting versus fasting.
Exactly. Versus fasting. So it's Ramadan versus Thanksgiving.
It's just
they pit it off.
A vowel difference.
And Cat Stevens all about quickness with his two sharp little rib blades.
Yeah.
And
like kind of like a Tang Yong-gung where he uses the elephant bones and straps them on his arms.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But razor sharp.
And
then he also despises her because she's a woman with short hair.
Who hates Muslims.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's a good answer.
Yeah, I'll say Cat Stevens wins.
Well, yeah.
He's got to win. I don't like to see Thanksgiving lose, but no, man. Can't have Paula.
He's just like death by a thousand slices, man. Just like cutting her up and she's just like.
Yeah. And then they serve her. For Ramadan.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah.
And then Cat Stevens could sing a song.
Yeah, of course.
The credits roll.
Yeah. Real like folksy type of
murder.
Ooh, murder baby, it's wild women.
I sliced her up. I stabbed her with a human rib bone.
Yeah. All right.
So, Alan Sanford.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just going to be totally superficial about this. Do it. And I'm going to pick Halloween and Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Right back to back. Both were represented in celluloid, so it makes my job easy. And I'm going to pick Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Right. Represent Halloween. Yes. I'm going to pick the killer in the best thing that Eli Roth has ever done.
The trailer. For a fictional movie.
Thanksgiving.
First thing. White meat. Dark meat. All will be served. And I think they would both kill each other and then come back.
Yes,
they're both dead, and the lone survivor, played by Jamie Lee Curtis.
What's really funny is that the lone survivor survives only because they keep fighting each other. Like, they're both trying to kill her, but then they're like, I'm supposed to kill her. And then they just fight each other, and so the person just keeps getting away.
Michael Myers keeps killing the killer from Thanksgiving because he keeps stopping to fuck the giant human turkey on the table.
Yeah. and did you notice in that, he farts when he's fucking it, doesn't he? Have you noticed that?
Nope. I'm too disturbed with children being present.
Looking
at him. Bleh, 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 bleh. If he farts while he fucks them, it's the greatest thing ever made.
I'm serious. That is the best thing Eli Roth has ever done.
He's been at the hostels?
The first one was all right. I'm not big on the torture porn. I thought that trailer was crying. I was laughing so hard. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
So let's see.
What are we talking about? Oh,
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook.
Facebook answers. Carlos Castro says Krampus, armed with telepathically controlled chains, the chains of torment.
Yeah.
Versus Yule and the burning Yule log. Who would win? The Norwegian metal band that gets to play the soundtrack to this fight.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Fire versus steel.
Well put, Jess.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Yeah, Earth versus man-made shit. Dude.
Resurgence. Andrew Thomas says, Easter and Christmas. Jesus at the height of his powers versus the interdimensional being known as Santa Claus.
His powers?
man.
All right.
One can be resurrected and one can be at any corner of the world at will. Ryan Timothy Brace says the 4th of July versus Arbor Day. Uncle Sam armed with a grenade launcher against an army of Ents. Arbor Day. Repping Arbor Day is the Ents. All right.
Yeah.
James Wells, Saturnalia versus Valentine's Day. Zeus versus Aphrodite. Will there be lightning blasting from the fingers or just finger blasting inside Mother Earth?
Well played.
Anytime you put finger blasting in an answer, find out in the dark movie theater this Sunday. Sunday.
Oh, man, they have to have a flashback where, like, Zeus pisses on what's-her-name to give birth to fucking Perseus. Because that's the original legend. He showed up as a golden shower, quote-unquote. He just pissed on this chick and he's like, hey, your son's Perseus.
That's the kind of movie you see in a darkened theater surrounded by men in raincoats.
And then finger blasting.
They're all pissed off because it's a Greek-based porn and it's straight.
Finger blasting Aphrodite.
Funny. Yeah, I like it.
Alfred Perez says Valentine's Day versus Halloween. Cupid with an auto crossbow like guts from Berserk. Nice. He actually has a picture here.
He drew it.
Versus Jack-O-Lantern's ghost with a Burger King Halloween Whopper. So the Black Whopper. He says Jack wins. And I think it was a real Whopper. Cupid eats it and his green poop turns him into stone. Wow.
All right.
Wait, nice. Good answers.
Came with artwork.
Came with artwork. You got to like that. Travis K says, St. Patrick's Day, leprechauns sporting the green keg of doomed golden ale versus the ghost of non-pardoned Thanksgiving turkeys. All right. Non-pardoned Thanksgiving turkeys armed with the carving knives that were used on them. Who wins? Nobody. The leprechauns were so drunk, they imagined they killed the turkeys and tripped and impaled themselves on the knives they had hanging over the bar. And the turkeys, they're lost already because they're dead. Shaggy from Poodle Slam says, this topic requires way more thought than I'm capable of producing, but I'm intrigued. So, Independence Day versus Groundhog Day. Independence Day gets Jeff Goldblum, and Groundhog Day gets Bill Murray. As weapons, they get the swarmy charm of Jeff Goldblum and the razor-sharp wit of Bill Murray. They fight in a Holiday Inn lounge on Ladies' Night, and everybody wins.
Like, they verbally fight? Like,
I think so, yeah.
They just trade words. And
there's Andy McDowell in it.
They fight over Andy McDowell.
Oh, I would.
And Judson Cooper says, Valentine's Day and St. Patty's Day. Cupid versus Patty. The power to influence true love against the drunken anger that flows through the saint like the Guinness he drank for breakfast. Fight.
All right. Yeah. End result, a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. So, Jess.
So, if you've been waiting 20 years to find out what happens to those funny aliens that killed Data from Star Trek, you wanted them to come back. Well, they're back, baby. They're back and better than ever, without Randy Quaid, without Will Smith, but with Vivica Fox. So, you know.
And Jeff Goldblum.
And Jeff Goldblum. At least Jeff Goldblum, he have to have at least that component of the movie, and maybe he'll, like, you know, come up with some kind of super flu, super shield flu or something to beat it. Yeah. I don't know. But for me, Independence Day Resurgence, yeah, all right then.
All right, now it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
And we talk and reminisce about the old days. Sanford, do you have any children?
No.
Yay. Outnumbered again. Yeah. So I have two kids. I have a 10-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. And my son's a little brother. I'm a little brother. I have two older sisters. And my topic question is, tell us about a time where you had to defend your sibling. Now, I freely admit my double standards. Freely admit them. And one of my double standards is I don't like it when people mess with my sisters. I am the little boy from Parenthood. I'll be crazy, not paying attention to anything. And if I think you're being mean to my sisters or even a little bit rude, I'll probably attack you. And it's just this thing that's just naturally built in me. I wasn't conditioned to be like that, just the way that I am. And so my son, I am noticing at 5 years old, he's starting to get like that. After school every day, I pick them up, ask them how their day went. They usually tell me if they got in trouble or not. They're pretty honest about it because they know I'm going to find out. So my son tells me, I didn't get in trouble, but I was put in timeout or whatever. I had to sit in a bench. Why? Because I hit my friend in the back really hard, but I didn't do it on purpose. Okay, was it an accident? Well, no. I got too excited and I punched him in the back. Why? Because he said that he loved Mikey. And Mikey's his sister. And I said, why did you punch him? And I said, and then he says, I don't want another little boy loving my sister. So I punched him in the back. And he's not a violent kid. There's no, like, that's my toy, give it back or anything. He's very passive. But he punched the kid. And it reminds me of back when he was 2. There is a big, giant, corn roll wearing kid that was 2 or 3 times bigger than all the other 2-year-olds. And he was a bully. Bullied my son, whatever. He just kind of took it. Pushed him out of the way for his toys and all that. I go to pick him up at his daycare, and his sister was like 5 or 6. And the big boy goes and pushes my daughter slightly. He was 2, but still pushes her. My son then shoves him in the face into a trash can.
Yeah.
And the bigger boy was kind of thrown back because he had never been pushed that way. And my son, at 2 years old, said, my sister, and started hyperventilating. Like, he, like, his adrenaline was up. You know, he was pumped, ready to go. So 3 years later, passive, he starts saying, well, I was laughing when I punched him in the back. I said, why were you laughing? Because I thought it was funny what he said. Why? He goes, nobody should love my sister but us. I said, okay. And I'm like, well, you don't do that. You don't hit people. But again, the double standard in me, I was a little bit proud. So my question, tell us about a time you had to defend your sibling or a family member. We'll break it down like that. Huh. My answer was, Sanford, you're into hardcore death metal, right? Into the kind of, like, you know,
Is that some of the genre that you like?
Some of it, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I've been into really hard metal for a long time. So I was at a Seven Mary 3 concert. And, you know, Cumbersome.
They're metal.
Yeah, man. Like, he says yeah and no 95 times. Yeah, no. Like, yeah, Seven Mary 3. And if you guys have never heard of Seven Mary 3, don't listen to them for free. Purchase their album.
No. I thought that was Silverchair.
Same thing, man. Rest in peace, Scott Weiland. And, and we were at a... What was I doing at a Seven Mary 3 concert?
I don't know. Are you sure you weren't at a Silverchair concert?
I'm pretty sure. The guy was very old singing. And, yeah, man, it was Seven Mary 3. It was Candlebox.
Oh, fuck, man. Of course that was here in town, right?
It was sponsored by Kiss. Mm-hmm. And these bands were big in, like, 1996 and stuff. But because Kiss sponsored them, I think this was, like, 2010? No, it was, like, 98. It was I was 17 years old. My sister was visiting from Georgia. And she got a little drunk. And she was standing on top of a chair and dancing, having a good time, jamming out to...
Seven Mary Three.
SMS, as I like to call it. SMT. And again, very passive. I was stoned. I was very loving life. And this guy starts to kind of grind her a little bit, yeah. You know, because she was just on top of a table. So just like Gunner. Wow, I'm just realizing that right now. I grabbed him by the neck. And pushed him in the face into some of the steel chairs.
But she didn't not like it.
She didn't not tell him to stop.
She did not tell him to stop.
Yeah, she danced with him. But just instinctively.
No, okay, that's what I'm saying
is wrong.
No,
wasn't like, get away.
She was like, okay,
she
cool.
She was drunk. She was having dancing
a
with
good
him.
Time.
But nobody says they love my sister.
No, I just wanted to make sure that, yeah.
And I'm not that guy.
She didn't give you a signal to do that.
No, she didn't. Okay. I just grabbed him by the and pushed him into some.
A trash can.
I pushed him into a silver chair. And that was like...
Where was he going, fat boy?
God damn it, he stole it. I was like, where are you going to, fat boy? And he reacted, and he was like, I didn't know she wasn't... I'm sorry, bro, I didn't know she was your chick. I was like, totally...
What's hilarious is about this whole thing, I'm just hearing, just like, behind all of this, that's all I can picture
and
in
none
the
of
back
the crowd
stage.
Is watching, because they're in not. Line to get an autograph from Lyle and Han.
And DJs.
You like Tony Montana'd her, right? You saw her dancing on the dance floor, and then you just threw the dude.
In a bathroom! Yeah, and so I pushed him out, and he freaked out, because it was between that story and another story where a boyfriend of hers called her a bitch in front of me.
See, there we go.
And I just got in his face, and his justification was, well, your mom went inside. Like, he didn't say it in front of my mom. And I was like, well, you said it in front of me. Mm-hmm. And so all this, you know, and I know you don't know me too much personally, Sanford. I am not that guy. I am not a fight guy.
Oh, I saw you push somebody into a dumpster the other day.
When was this?
No, I'm kidding.
Was my sister around? I guess that's the question. So, yeah, those were two times. Same sister, as a matter of fact, and I have two. So I bring it up to the table, you know, seeing my son do it, knowing that I do it. It's not the right thing to do, but it's just the way I am. I can't help it. So do you guys have any examples of that yourselves?
I have two older brothers. They're 6 and 7 years older than me. They're both have always been strong, big, athletic guys who never really – needed me to come to their defense. Yeah. But the one time that I don't know if I so much came to their defense as I spoke for them, with my fists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was like 7. And there's this dude that lived in the neighborhood, down the street, and we were all playing football on our front yard. And we were all playing, and the dude was just being a jerk. He was just being a dick.
Just grinding
and
on people.
No, he wasn't grinding on people. We were just playing. And for some reason or another, I socked a kid in the nose. I can't remember why. I was young, but I socked him in the nose and he flat out started crying. And I was, he was probably like 12. I was probably like 7. Socked him in the nose, started crying, ran home. His mom came over, talked to my dad. I got in trouble, but my brothers were there and they didn't like, they were, it was kind of a, you know, like the guy double standard to where when the mom stopped talking to my dad, who's a boxer, everybody was kind of like, hey, good job, man. Like, good job. Like, you know, cause especially I was a 7 year old.
A jerk to your brothers?
That's the thing. Memory? Not really sure. Maybe he was just being a jerk to me and maybe my brothers didn't stand up for me, you know? So then I just had to let him know and just I socked him. I don't want to say punch cause who knows? I was a little kid. I'm sure my form wasn't that great at that time. So I just threw a punch.
Just a Marcus Camby.
Yeah, just haymaker, just crazy overhand right that just got him in the nose just right. But I remember like I popped him and he started crying. And I was like, yeah, man, that's right. So that's the closest thing that I can think of defending my siblings. Cause they, like I said, they never have ever needed.
And he was 7.
No. He was there. He was like 12. So, he was older.
Your brother's age.
Yeah. He was an older kid who lived down the street. And he might have been there. Yeah. Cause if I was 7, they were like 13, maybe. Yeah. And I socked him. So that's the only thing that I can remember. Cause my brothers don't need me to defend them.
Yeah.
What about you, Jeff?
Well, there's this one time where my stepsister, who's like a year and a half, a couple years younger than me, this was like a, like I was already like a junior in high school. And so she was like a freshman or whatever. And so, this is back in the day before cell phones. Everyone had their own cell phone. It was the house phone. Everyone shared the house phone, the house line. And, this dude, this like guy called asking for her. Like it was presumably like some guy she was probably like dating in high school or that kind of liked or whatever. And he like asked for her like, oh, can you put her on the phone or whatever? Blah, blah, blah. Well, she didn't happen to be home at the time that he called one time. I was like, oh, she's not in. You want me to have her give you a call back? You got numbers, being polite or whatever. And he's like, nah, man, do me a favor. Put that bitch on the phone right now. And so, like, and I was like, what? And he's like, put that bitch on the phone right now. Let me talk to that fucking bitch. Like, but he was like ghetto, like kind of ghetto-esque in there. And so, like, this weird, instinctual, quirky, weird self. I'm like, oh, okay, hold on a second. So I put the phone down, took a few steps away, came back. And I picked up the phone again. Oh, you still there? Oh, do me a favor. Why don't you go fuck yourself in the corner and fuck yourself so hard that you fucking die. Better yet, go fucking kill yourself. Go kill yourself like right now. Like it was so
Alf unfocused. Told him
that? Yeah, so Alf told him that. It was so unfocused and not cool, but it wasn't like so angry. It was more just like so passively go fuck yourself. And so it was this weird. He started to yell back over the phone, super ghetto style.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you want to fucking go or whatever the fuck cholos fucking say or whatever. And then, like, mid-sentence, I hung up on him.
Yeah.
Because he's all pissed off and I'm not pissed. So I hung up on him and then he called back. Don't fucking hang up on me. I'm like, oh, okay. 1 second. Let me get her the phone. I did the same thing again. I was like, I'm sorry. Hang on. Let me go get her real quick. I came back. He's still there. Hey, go fuck yourself. So this repeated same thing. You get pissed off, hang up on him. And that kind of like repeated like five times or whatever. And then the finale was so dumb. I took the phone with me, the cordless phone, and I took a dump by the phone. And that was like my – like it doesn't do any good. It's not good.
Did
it doesn't
he hear do you taking a dump?
No, he was too busy like yelling.
Oh, he was yelling at you.
Yeah, just, and on the phone I was like, I'm taking a shit by the phone.
I would have just been like, all right, man, just hold on. And then I just would have just left it there and then – Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much what happened while I was dumping.
Yeah. All right. I got you.
Yeah.
So, I would have been like, I'm sorry, man. Which fucking bitch? My mom or my sister?
Well, he was asking by name.
Ah, oh, damn it.
Yeah. He was asking by name, like for that my sister or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's probably dead.
He probably is dead from fucking himself.
Yeah. In the corner.
I told him to go fuck himself in the corner because he did exactly what I told him.
He was mad because he has that fucking OCD where he has to do things that he's told. So he's pissed off like, fuck you, Mary, think you are. Like, cause he's fucking himself. And so he's probably dead from fucking himself.
Yeah. Or just from being a piece of shit. But like, that's like, he never showed up to like whip my ass.
He didn't have a car. He was fucking 13.
Well, he couldn't leave his house because he had the ankle bracelet thing too.
I was telling him, was like, well, you want to walk here? Because I wasn't driving. I was like, you want to walk here? Do I have to meet you down the street? Where do you want to meet? Where do you want to do this, whatever you're doing? It was a bunch of, it didn't make any sense. Like, it wasn't.
You want to go? You want to do this? We can make it happen, baby.
Yeah. But, like, it's funny because my stepsister never asked, like, did that guy ever call? Like, she never mentioned, like, expecting that phone call or anything. Yeah. Like, never talked about it. And I never told her, oh, this dude called for you. I never even brought it up.
What kind of person would be, put the fucking bitch on the phone?
Yeah, one second. Yeah. And then, hey, it's for you. It's a guy.
Yeah, like, come on.
Sanford?
So, yeah.
Oh, this is a tough one. I don't know. I had the reverse situation from you, Regan. My younger brothers were considerably younger than I was. So we didn't go to the same schools.
Yeah.
We didn't have the same playmates,
right,
as it were. Yep. So I'm trying to think of any situation where I was really sort of...
Where you had to beat up on a child that was
picking
on your siblings.
Never happened to my recollection. This is probably the closest thing. I remember my folks were out of town, and I was watching my younger brothers, and we're watching Gallipoli. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
Australian movie about World War I.
How old were they?
They were like maybe 5, 6, and 7 or something. 6 and 7 because they were old enough. They were old enough to have the attention span.
Okay,
to watch Gallipoli.
To follow this, and it has this totally tragic ending, and it freaked out my youngest brother considerably because I don't think he'd ever seen a movie in which, you know, all the characters you're totally rooting for just get machine gunned down at the end.
Not supposed to happen.
So I felt really bad about exposing him to that, and went and consoled him and cheered him up. And
did you put in a happier movie after that?
I don't remember what happened.
Brazil? Brazil.
Oh, you'll like The Wild Bunch.
Yes. That was just the way he said all the characters you love get gunned down. It's like, The Wild Bunch.
Yeah, so I think it was probably, maybe that would be the closest.
Oh, that's nice. I don't think my brothers ever consoled me over anything.
Oh, he was just totally distraught.
No, my brothers, I remember they made me cry for any reason they could to make me cry. They would.
He was a sensitive little sausage, you know.
Man, that's what they called me.
A sensitive little sausage?
I'm sure they called me that behind closed doors.
What about the Facebooks?
All right, Facebooks. Alfred Perez says, we pretty much fought our own battles. Sister never had to defend me. I never had to defend my brother or vice versa. All right. Alonzo Cantu says, brother got into a fight with an old neighbor kid. I come up from behind him and I put him in a chokehold while my brother grabs a lawn chair and hits him with it.
Oh, hell yeah.
I felt like this is what family is all about. Andrew Thomas says, never really had to. My sister is 11 years older than me, and I am hardly around my younger brother or sister. So, I guess if you have big age gaps, you never have to defend.
Pretty much.
Well, no, my sister's 9 years older than me. Wow. So
that's true.
I was a big little brother.
All right.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Athena Wood says, my younger sister, Genesis, got ticked off at some kids being mean to me. She picked up a stick and beat him on and around his little man parts area.
That's classic. That's classic Woods.
He limped home crying. I'm pretty sure the guy is sterile now. Yikes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
James Wells says, my brother and I are all huge dudes, so I guess we've never really had to fight anyone when we're around each other. I'll tell you a story about when I tried. Once upon a time, my brother, a friend of his, and I were allegedly smoking weed in a park pavilion near a house blocked by view from the street. When I noticed a guy walking up towards us from the street, he was a long way off, but I noticed his parked car still running at the curb. I told my brother the guy looked suspicious, but they just laughed it off. Thankfully, he put away what some would call the pipe and weed.
In quotes.
When he got closer, I stood up and mentioned for them to do the same. When we did, he called out that he was a police officer and that we needed to stay right where we were. I told my brother to bail into the woods a few feet away since they were holding the alleged evidence. And we knew the thicket better than any random cop. Well, it turns out my brother wanted to call the guy out and see if he would fold. Nope. The dude grabbed my brother and found some things that he wasn't happy about. He made the call for backup, and 30 minutes later, he was riding in the back of the cop car. I tried to stand up for him. I really did. He went to jail, though.
Oh, man. Oh. E for effort.
Good try, though.
Yeah, good try. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Travis
the case is still working its way through the court system, apparently.
had a good trial lawyer.
Should have bailed. Travis K says, there was a time when I still rode the bus in eighth grade when this pussified asshat decided he was going to try and pick on my little brother, who was in the third grade at the time. I looked at the jerk. David Adele was his name. Way to call him out, Travis K.
All right. Yeah, pussified asshat.
There you go.
And it's such a Republican thing to call somebody.
I called him out and told him if he laid a finger on my brother, I'd beat him into the ground. He proceeded to talk smack, so I took a couple steps in his direction. He ran off, literally screaming like a girl, and hid around the corner until the bus arrived. The thing that sucks is some snaggletooth girl had to tattle and get me written up
for
basically nothing.
Fucking I was pissed. Jewel.
Oh, fucking snaggletooth girls are the best.
Oh, yeah.
Except for that one.
Yeah, they have big tits normally.
Judson Cooper said, at least once a year, I use myself as an emotional, physical, and mental shield to defend my older brother and sister, both of which are 7 years older than myself, from the matriarch that we spawn from.
That's
Get dark.
Yeah, Judson Cooper, man. Yeah, he defends him from mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Owen!
All right, man. So,
never mind.
Yeah, okay.
I'm still thinking about. They knew the thicket better than anybody else.
The inner family interface that I could have.
I never defended my brothers from old man. They aren't. Oh yeah, my dad beat up. Well, I mean, good beat up.
Nah, I kind of was left to my own devices. They didn't defend me. I think that's what it comes.
I cheered for them to get
beat.
Yeah.
See, so like you know, if you got more than one kid. And one's protective, you know, like let them do it. Or, you know, like tell them don't take it so serious.
Much fucking business.
You know, I don't know what to do. Parenting. Fuck it. Like they're going
to
end up.
It's the worst place to ask for advice.
Yeah. It's the best place because I just tell you like they're just going to end up being zero killers anyway.
All right.
Final segment is my segment called Hey, That's Not Funny, where we talk about stuff that is not funny. And today we're talking about something that is kind of funny. But it's a research coming out of University of Cambridge that they're researching some howler monkeys. Howler monkeys are exactly what they sound like. They're monkeys who have a very, very audible, loud roar, that they, it's for used for mating to attract females and to scare off rival males. Well, what these researchers have found is that not all male howler monkeys have been equally endowed. As far as exactly, well, listen. So, as far as the bone and the guttural thing that actually lets them scream, the muscles and everything that they use to have these loud to howl very, very loudly, they found that the bigger a male's howler vocal organ and the deeper, more imposing roar they possess, the smaller their testes and the less sperm that they can produce.
Huh.
So it was an interesting thing as the smaller the male's testes and the less sperm that they produced, the louder
so
they
roared. So the stereotype
roared.
Of having big balls and doing that and then getting kicked in the balls and doing that is reversed.
They're basically overcompensating, much in the way that guys with small junk have to have a fucking Trans Am, right?
Yeah. That is essentially
or an F-50.
So
with balls in the back of the
or an AR-15.
Or an AR-15, the extension of the penis.
So that's what I thought was really funny, is that it's immediately, like I said, it's kind of a funny parallel to compensation. So these male
and they're trying to find howler back girls.
Yikes. Wow.
And they like to eat bananas.
Yes.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Howler monkeys. So the louder these howler monkeys call, the smaller their
I'm
balls
so sorry,
are.
Everybody.
Which is it's kind of a weird lead into my question because it's talking about very, very loud primates, loud monkeys, right. Which leads me to my question, which I'm not saying that your answer should be somebody with very small testicles, but who is the loudest person?
Well, I know my answer. I won't give it away, but my answer.
I know it's not true.
Has giant balls.
Exactly.
What?
So my question is, who is the loudest person you know? And Larry, I know that you said that we might have the same answers, but I doubt it because it's such a funny answer because you just think of small balls. Is my father.
Jesus Christ.
Who? I don't think I've ever seen his junk in all the years that I've known him.
No,
thank goodness. I've seen him walk around in his undies many times.
Yeah, that's all you need.
No junk imprints?
No. It's not like I stared.
ever. No, I got it.
But yeah, he's, I mean, we were all known to walk around. It was a house full of boys.
I don't think I've even seen my dad's chest.
One of my favorite pictures ever that my mom took when I was younger is me and my two brothers. They're teenagers. I'm probably like, maybe like 9. My dad's whatever, like 40 something. And we're all sitting in the living room eating dinner with TV trays all in our underwear.
Right on.
Just such a great man picture of just all of us boys just eating dinner at TV trays in our undies. I'm sure it's the summer. My dad never turned the thermostat down, so we just had to stay cool. Anyway, my dad, holy God, he is a loud man. He's great enough to come to all of our shows. He's come to a lot of our shows, and you can hear him laugh. You can hear him make comments. He claps. He is such a loud human being. He's one of the loudest people I've ever known. It's embarrassing most of the time that he is so loud. Mm-hmm. He's always making, and of course, him whispering is super loud. And so when he's trying to be quiet and say something, like, he knows he shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's still super audible for everyone to hear. And he used to be very angry. He used to always get in fights when he was younger. He went into boxing so he could fight professionally, like actually have a reason to fight. He was very angry, very quick to anger. And he had this like screaming, shouting voice that I've heard him use before. And I call it his bear voice. And I call it that because I'm sure if there was, like, to me, I can imagine it being loud enough to scare a bear away. Like, he's just, it's utterly terrifying. Luckily, I haven't heard it in, like, last 20 years, but man, and I think part of me has that in me, which is kind of neat, because I don't know, I can be loud. But anyway, it's my old man. He's a very, very loud person. He's the loudest person that I know, so I open up to the...
So my original answer was Jess Anthony Castro.
Yep, that's who's...
Yeah.
That's definitely a close second for me.
If you notice on our mixing board, I believe his is a little bit lower than all of ours. He's a loud guy. Not in a negative way. Just, you know, he talks loud. Can't help himself. We get excited.
I get excited.
You can hear him from across the room.
I get super excited.
But to the howler monkey thing, we all know that Jess has mega balls.
How do we know that?
Sometimes you think Jess is sitting on a beanbag chair.
Yeah. But they are his.
But it's just testicles. His testes.
He has the giantest balls ever.
It's definitely not howler monkey.
But
sort of.
Your answer is going to make me audible talk about my Uncle Mondo, who very similarly is a
very loud. This is how he talks. This is how he talks like that, right? I don't know. I think he's got big balls. Like, he used to wear just tidy whities, right? And my favorite memory was getting up at 7 in the morning, and he slept on the couch because, you know, show me how you won the basketball game, Mijo. Day before. Fell asleep drunk. In the front room, in his underwear, my grandma's house, and I was leaving for school. I think I was like 10 or 11, and I remember it specifically, and it literally sounded like this. I went, "Okay, Uncle Mondo, I'm leaving for school. Have a good day." He turns around, throws his leg over the top of the seat, and
yeah,
it was just whitey tidy bear ass. Just a meaty fart.
It was loud from both ends.
Yeah, it was awesome. He went and took a dump during grace on Thanksgiving. And
that says it all right there.
And
would you like to say grace? I gotta go take a dump.
Yeah. And the dining room was next to the bathroom of my grandmother's house.
Oh, man.
And it was very, like, I'm thankful very much. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. We can hear that. And this, I was older. I was like 20, right? And so I was with Andy. And Andy,
natural, man.
Remembers praying to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and thanking him for all of the gifts that we had, including the regularity of my uncle's anus. We were at a funeral. And it was a relative of ours we cared about, everything like that, of course, but it was a relative that we saw. It was a long time coming. It was kind of a relief. So, the pastor was praying and, you know, doing whatever he does. And I was a few pews below him, and, his brother, my other uncle, was across the aisle. So my uncle whispered to him in the middle of the funeral,
where do you want to eat after this? And the fucking deepest cannibal corpse fucking whisper, because he was whispering.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then my uncle looks at him and just kind of like, we'll talk about it later. And then in Spanish, he says, do you have any smokes? And so then he's like, my uncle just pats his chest pocket like, yes, I do. And then in Spanish says, well, let's go outside and smoke. And my uncle again gesturing later, and then he gets upset and and just walks out. So, yeah, my uncle.
I'm pretty loud.
It could be yourself.
No, it could be myself, but I'm pretty loud. But a great friend of ours that I think is very loud is Mr. Brant Bumpers.
Yeah.
Brant Bumpers
yeah,
is,
he can be, yeah.
is super loud.
Sanford knows Brant Bumpers.
Brant Bumpers. So what I think is always funny is when Brant tells a story or talks about other people or maybe talks about a movie or talks about something in the character or person that he's talking about gets angry in his story, man, that guy yeah. gets fucking angry. Like, man, that guy's fucking yeah. angry. So he could be talking about, like, for example, the postman, what the fuck are you talking about now? You know, and just like, but he doesn't, he's just telling the story naturally, but his false aggression is, like, potentially scary to people who don't know him.
Brant's a big guy.
Yeah.
And he's got the big beard and the hair and shit. Yeah. And yeah.
And a muzzle necklace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just,
breaker.
You're yeah. getting down at Shire Harbor and you're laughing. You're having a good old time. And then Brant talks about a scene from some movie and then just, like, because he gets so excited to tell the story. And I love that, actually.
Yeah.
I actually love that about him. Yes, I think he is like
yeah.
pretty loud, and I'm
and he
loud.
He gets that eyebrow thing too. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Oh, Brant face.
Yeah.
This is. Do you see that podcast,
kind
listeners?
Of twitchy. Yeah.
There it is. Every yeah. podcast could see Brant face.
You're
yeah.
Weird.
Brant's probably louder than I am, I guess.
Yeah, that's a toughie. That's a toughie.
Brant's
yeah.
a good answer. Sanford?
I'm going to go back to high school, and I don't know that he was all that loud. It's just that he did not have the ability to sort of modulate. And it was a friend of mine named Peter who was really smart and really funny and really, really sarcastic. And he had no ability to know that maybe in this particular situation, the best thing to do would not be to say that.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't say it as a whisper either.
Wow, I think like that's so funny because, yeah.
We all know those people.
Wow, all right.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are kind of like that to some degree now, right? A little bit.
About not being able to whisper? Yeah, I think we're all Regan not so much.
You guys are comedians. This is you guys are like you have probably done this.
There's been some
yeah.
said,
oh yeah,
dude, calm down. Yeah. Don't drop those N bombs so loud, Larry.
So I have this memory of him because he was the funny thing about him was in addition to him having this sort of acerbic wit, he was also the guy that would just say what everybody in the room was thinking.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow.
And so there was a guy who we went to high school with. This is Peter and I had already graduated. We're going back to see some friends of ours graduate who were a year or two behind us. I guess it was just a year behind us. So anyway, we're sitting there in the stands. And there was a guy who should have graduated with us, except he was working on his truck, and the jack broke, and the truck fell on him, and it paralyzed him from the neck down. Yeah, really unfortunate situation. Nice guy, but not the brightest bulb, you know. He went back to school in a wheelchair and finished high school. Okay. And so he comes up to wheel across the stage and all this, and he gets a standing ovation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a football stadium full of people standing up and applauding for this guy, because everybody in the, it was a small town, everybody kind of knew the story. So anyway, we're sitting down, and you know, as you sit down after a standing ovation, there's that moment of kind of like everybody's settling down, and there's that stillness that, and Peter pushes his glass up on his nose and just says to everybody around him, "Yeah, I remember when I went to high school with that guy. I mean, it's great he graduated and all. What a dumb motherfucker." Like, everybody around us wants to fucking kill us.
The sad thing is, it's probably the truth, right? Like, the dude... probably
what everyone was thinking.
You're not allowed to say that, but...
What a dumb
I get it. That's brutal.
So as soon as the graduation ceremony was over, like, it was just funny. Everybody was just like, "Let's get the fuck out of here."
And he didn't give a shit, right?
No, he was,
All right, let's do Facebook answers. Let's see. Juan Carlos Peláez says, "This chick Caesar works with, put a few drops of alcohol in her, and it's like you're sitting next to a howler monkey."
All right. Yeah.
Me, Alonzo Cantu says, "Me, my grandma and mom tie for second." Wait. Oh, me. And then his grandma and his mom ties for second.
Right.
Jay Wycott says, "It's usually the person who has the least to say."
Interesting.
Alfred Perez says, "Superstar Jess Castro."
Yeah.
"I can remember hearing his gregarious laughing from outside the band hall."
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Those were the days. Yeah.
Just finger blasting chicks being loud about it.
Knuckle deep. Brandy Dunnigan says, "Catherine Contreras, but only when she's white girl woos." So I guess when she,
she gets into it.
It's all white girl.
Yeah.
Andrew Thomas says, "Me."
I like it. Yeah.
Catherine Contreras says, "Brandy Dunnigan, but only in Facebook comments." Well, they're getting all catty.
Whatever.
James Wells says, "Honestly, probably me. Jay was right." So a lot of people saying themselves. Whoa, Athena Wood says, "Regan." Yeah, Regan. What? I'm not loud. I can be loud, but anyway. Travis K says, "Who's naturally the loudest? My cousin Philip. He has a voice that naturally projects and carries. I, on the other hand, get extremely loud when I'm overly happy or excited. It's like my volume goes up to 11 and the switch breaks."
Yeah.
Samantha Lines Reek says, "My dog, Linus, at 4 a.m. when the bad guys and werewolves apparently come to our house and look in the windows."
Dog just goes nuts.
Yeah. Johnson Cooper says, "Andrew effing Markafa is the... there's only one other being that I have met who is louder, and I dare not say her name for fear of her appearing out of thin air." Jeez.
Oh, yikes.
He put a link to this Andrew Markafa guy. I'm going to click on it.
Oh, so it's somebody he knows.
Oh, it's Andrew Thomas. All right. So yeah. Andrew Thomas is apparently super, super loud.
Yeah, and Andrew Thomas said him.
Yeah, he said himself.
I'll believe it.
Yeah. So, yeah, howler monkeys. Howling, being loud, little balls. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, that shit's bananas.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it breaks your perceptions of things.
Well, Sanford, this is your second time on the podcast. We're so happy to have you, and I'm sure you are aware that this is an educational program. So at the end of every podcast, we ask our guest and we ask ourselves, what did you come to know? Being with this group of individuals, what made you come to learn something new about yourself, the world, or life in general? So ponder that for a second. Jess, what did you come to know?
I come to know that through a Google search, after kind of discovering it, that Lucy Lunchbox is up for grabs if you want to be a professional lady wrestler, or perhaps an alternative filmmaker, or you want to be, you're a mixologist and you want to make a drink called the Lucy Lunchbox. Have at it, because it hasn't been taken yet. You're welcome.
All right. That's right.
Courtesy of us.
I learned about A Girl Walks Alone in the Dark. Is that the name of it?
Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
The Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. And it it comes with a drink, and I am going to look up all of Sanford Allen's recipes, mixology, if you will, and take them to hipster bars and make the bartenders feel like shit for not knowing
they
are. Yeah. And I'll be, Sanford Allen made them, and then they're going to be like... And I'm like, yeah, bitch.
Who?
Yeah, like, fuck them for not knowing. That I'm going to be a hipster to them. Yeah, ah, I can't wait, dude.
But A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night is on Netflix.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so check it out.
Will do.
Cool. Maybe movie. That's where I saw it. Maybe that's where I saw that. I came to know that a lot of the loud people that we know share similar traits in the fact that, like, they all said what everybody was thinking. They don't really have a filter on what they were saying.
Right.
They can't whisper. Like, they all shared those similar traits. And it's interesting that's a thing, you know, because they're all not related, obviously not related people, yeah. But they're still a singular person probably in their family. Like, not everybody is like that. So, I don't know. Now it's like, I want to do some research into, like, if everybody has that person and all those loud people share those similar traits.
Question, is Pete and your dad loud farters?
They don't hold back, but I wouldn't say they're loud snorers. My old man snored loud.
Yeah. I don't think I ever heard Pete fart.
Yeah, my uncle's a loud farter.
But do we know their ball size? That's the real question.
I'm glad I did.
That's a random thing. That's apply for everyone.
Sanford.
Yeah.
What did you call
it? I think the thing I noticed was similar to what you noticed about the loud people. I noticed that none of us, even though loud people can really annoy the fuck out of us, the people we chose to talk about were people we actually liked.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we're kind of in awe and in admiration of the fact that they don't have that filter.
Absolutely.
That they'll say what we want to say and do what we want to do, but we kind of, you know.
It's their one of their best like qualities.
Adam's family loom, there it is.
Yeah.
What? That's an MC Hammer song.
They do what they want to do, say what they want to say.
Yeah. That's an MC Hammer
song. No, but it is. It's one of, like, it's actually a great quality. Like, it can be a asset.
Yeah. So if you have a guy that, ladies, that is into you, that is loud and obnoxious, give him a chance because he's the most honest guy you'll ever meet. He'll call a paraplegic a dumb motherfucker.
No, he was a dumb mother ever before he was a paraplegic.
Yeah, sure. But is he a paraplegic? Yes. And did he refer to him as a dumb motherfucker? Yep. That's awesome. Take some balls.
It does.
Ah!
Hey! Yeah. There it is! So, it takes some balls.
So go to sanfordallen.com, check out the blog and all those cool drinks and even cooler movies. Jess, what about us?
Hey, what about us? I'll tell you what about us. You're one of us, because oneofus.net is where you're listening to this podcast, so thanks a bunch for listening to us on oneofus.net. Hey, if you like this episode and you've never heard it before and you want to listen to older stuff that's not on oneofus.net, you can go to comediaagogo.com, and there's lots of older episodes, as well as our movie Blood Cousins, as well as our comedy special Big Red and Barbacoa. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at comediaagogo and hashtag public access. Be our friend, follow us, share us, love us. We love you. Thanks for answering our questions on our Public Access Happy Campers Facebook page. Thanks.
Sanford, thank you again for joining us. We can't wait till the next time, man. And look at all of your bands that are available online to listen to.
That's right.
Right. Boxcar Satan, Hog Bitch, any other bands or music projects?
Evil Mothers, but the books, man.
The books.
Go to my Amazon author page. And,
yeah.
Nice. Reading.
For those people who still fucking read.
Yes.
Come on.
Do it, man. Yeah. Sanford Allen, thank you so much for joining us once again.
You're welcome, man.
This is Larry.
This is Regan.
This is Jess.
And we'll smell you later.
What? Hear you later. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it.
We'll howl you later.
Well, yeah. We'll small balls you later.
That's what I'm...